broadcast comes from the Academy for Entrepreneurial Leadership at the University of Illinois, a resource for UIUC faculty and students with entrepreneurial ideas and aspirations. More information on the Academy can be found at www.ael.uiuc.edu. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Prairie Fruits Farm, 4410 North Lincoln Avenue, Champaign, producers of sustainably raised fruits and farmstead goat cheese. Prairie Fruits Farm is Illinois' first farmstead cheesemaking facility with fresh and aged goat cheeses, tree fruits, and berries. Open Saturdays from 9 a.m. to noon until the farmer's market season opens. Email address prairiefruits@gmail.com.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. It is the first Friday of the month, the day we talk about dogs here on the program. And our guest today is visiting the U.S. from Britain. She is the dog trainer known as the Dog Listener. Her name is Jan Fennell. Jan Fennell can answer all manner of questions about living with a dog, from selecting a puppy to the stages of a dog's development to training and handling a dog in public. She's also well known for her work with dogs with behavior problems. Listeners, if you have a question about dogs, give us a call. Talk to Jan. She's happy to help. Here are the phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Our toll-free number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. So if you're outside the local dialing area and it would be a long distance call, use that number, the toll-free number. Our guest, Jan Fennell, has loved dogs, cared about them deeply since she was a small child. But about 15 years ago, she began to think the way we train dogs could be improved. She began thinking about how to better communicate with dogs. She is the author of several books now on dogs, including The Dog Listener, A Dog's Best Friend, The Secrets That Make Good Dog Owners Great, and The Seven Ages of Your Dog. Jan Fennell joins us this afternoon from the Chicago area, where she's been conducting some workshops and lectures, including a training course this weekend that she's going to do this weekend and on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. For more information on that, I'm going to give you a website here you can check out, and this website is www.peacefulpaws.us, peacefulpaws.us. And I'm happy to welcome Jan Fennell back to the Afternoon Magazine. This is her second appearance on the program. Jan, welcome back.
Oh, it's lovely to be back with you, Celeste. It really is. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I couldn't be better. I'm absolutely fantastic. It's lovely to be back in the States. It really is, especially with this extensive tour we're teaching. It's dreams come true here.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about the people and dogs you've been working with in the Chicago area now.
Yeah, well, what's happening this time is I had a talk the other evening, and fortunately for me, there was a lot of new people, you know, unfamiliar with my work, especially from the shelters and other organizations that help dogs and their owners. And they're very receptive to a way that doesn't include any gadgets, any surgery, any violence. You know, you're working with a dog in its home. Where you should work. It's the only place to work with a dog. Don't send it anywhere. Bless its heart. It doesn't deserve that, you know. And so we did that. And then tomorrow, as you say, I've got the foundation courses, which is the first time away from England we've done them. And we've got them being organized here by my two dog listeners who are here now in Chicago, which are, you know, they're fully trained by me and my son Tony, and we're really proud of them. That's Marilyn and Sasha. And then that's here in Chicago itself. And then I'm doing similar things in Florida, Kansas, and Chicago. In California. So, and I'm also staying with Monty Roberts, the original, my inspiration.
Yeah.
Who started me off. I'm staying with him and his wife, Pat, again, 3 years since I was there last. So this is really the first teaching tour I've ever done. And I'm so, so, so honored with the response. It's fantastic.
That's great. That's great. Spreading the word.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. Well, we've got a listener who wants to talk with you.
Yeah.
He's waiting already on line one in Champaign. Go ahead. You're on the air with Jan Fennell.
Hi, Jan. Thanks for taking calls.
That's okay.
Start out with an easy one here. We have a well-behaved dog who, other than the fact that when you let her outside, the first thing she does is run off and jump over the fence and take off.
Right.
She loves to run, golden retriever, mm-hmm. and just can't figure out how to keep her in the fence without any of the tools that you don't like, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you said that because I personally hate any weapons at all, whether they be prong collars, shock collars. They've got no place in training, no place in teaching. You know, if our school teachers were to suddenly say to a kid, "You've done it wrong, I'm going to shock you," they kind of lose their job. You know, teaching is about facilitating learning. Now, when you say your dog is well behaved, I can hear by your voice you love it a bit. You want her happy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one thing about this method. It is for people who love their dogs, but you also need to have an open mind and respect for the animal, you know, which you've got. Otherwise, you wouldn't be phoning me. Okay. What's happening is when you open that door, you see, the dog's boundary, natural boundary, would be about 50 square miles, not our own backyard, even if you've got a few acres. You know, that's not enough for the dog, and it must investigate what's around if the dog believes its leader. Now, this is the underlying problem. When I started to study wolves and African wild dogs or any canines living free, what I learned was that they have such a respect for hierarchy that when you get them to elect you leader of their own free will, then the problems fall away. Now, this is why I'm so anti all the violence. It's because I call that the Saddam Hussein style of leadership. And I don't think any of us would like to have had him tell us what he wanted us to do, because it would have been all fear and brutality. I'd rather go the way of Gandhi. You know, and Gandhi once said, you can judge a civilization by the way they treat their animals. And so, you know, I kind of think it's got to be softer than that and more gentle. So with your dog, I would hazard a guess that you might not find this true, but I promise you it is, the dog actually sees herself responsible for your family. And what she has to do is check what's out there that could hurt you. Now, when you trade places with her, and that's done by a very, very simple method, it's so gentle, so quiet, it's fantastic, that then your dog will be looking to you to lead her out. You see, at the moment, she believes she's leader and must find out what's out there. When you trade places with her using my simple, basic method, then she will not assume to go out. She'll wait for you to lead her. Because the four important things that matter to a dog are food, which we all know, the hunt. You see, we call it going for a walk, but they don't actually do that. There's no dog that goes for a walk. If you really want to get the best out of your dog, play with it. This is how they learn their status. They make bonds with each other through play. I'm not saying you can't take your dog for a walk, but it's actually a nonsense to the dog, but we won't go there. Danger. Perceived danger to the pack, and status, where they stand. And most people, if once you take charge of those four quietly and like a leader, you know, with confidence, the dog will then respect you enough to make you the one that makes the decisions. Can you see where I'm coming from?
I do.
So when you trade places with a dog, which is all that information is in either the book, The Dog Listener, or the DVD, I'm sorry to plug the book, but it's all there. But when you understand where they're coming from, then you get the dog to say, hey, where do we go? And if you're around the yard and you're saying, you know, your attitude is, we're not going anywhere now, the dog will not assume. Do you see the difference? The dog will think, well, if you're not going there, I'm not going there.
And what's the name of the book?
That's The Dog Listener, all my work. And I tell you what, if you're not sure, which this is one thing I'd love the opportunity to say here, Celeste, if I may. If people are skeptical of what I'm saying, good. It's about time we got skeptical. For far too long, an expert said, oh, yeah, your dog's, you know, barking, so put this dreadful collar on and punish it for doing its job. You know, as if this is okay in the name of training. Get skeptical, folks. If you think that's not very nice to do and I wouldn't like it done to me, then don't do it to your dog because it's abuse. And I don't care who the person is telling you to do that. Step back. So if you're skeptical about my work, good. Fine. I want people to be skeptical. I want people to think about it for themselves. And when you see how straightforward this method is, you will see how easy it is. So really give it some thought and think, can I get my dog to elect me of its own free will? There must be no force, no violence. I'm not saying you're violent towards your dogs. Please don't think that. But, you know, even jerking them on a choke chain is violence. You know, this isn't teaching. Because even walking to heel, they don't do naturally. I've never seen a pack going out close order. You know, they kind of spread out. So if you learn their language and communicate in a way you both understand, you get what you're looking for, and the dog gets the owner it deserves.
I'll give it a try.
You don't give it a try, you do it.
Do it.
You do it. You go for it. Come on, you're an intelligent guy. Just go for it, and your dog will love you for it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much for ringing in. I really appreciate that.
Dog listener Jan Fennell is our guest this afternoon here on The Afternoon Magazine. If you've got a question about dogs, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL and 333-WILL. In your book, Jan, the dog listener, you write a bit about the ancient bond between humans and dogs.
Yeah.
And you also note that our relationship has changed.
Oh, yeah, it has.
Often to the detriment of the dog.
Usually to the detriment
of
the dog. And actually of the human being, too, because, you know, the original relationship. Sorry, Celeste. Yeah, I'll let you finish the question. This is my biggest failing. I never let people finish their question. I apologize. Go on. You were going to say.
I think that you're absolutely right. I'm glad you did interrupt me because, you know, it is both to the detriment of the animal and to us because it breaks our hearts.
Exactly. You know, and you see, this is a problem we have. First of all, as you say, years ago, but not in our distant history, and a lot of people still have a relationship with dogs as they've had before. I mean, earlier on this year, I happened to be in Kenya, and there was a Maasai, young Maasai warrior, and he got his cattle, and the dog was there with him, and we were having a chat. The bond is the same as it was originally there. The dog works to help protect the pack, you know, which happens to be a herd of cattle. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It's the pack. And then in return, they get the friendship and the devotion to the owner. It's a lovely reciprocal relationship. Now, it all started really, the downfall for the dog started with one of our kings, Charles, who suddenly turned the dog from a colleague to a pet only with the Cavalier King Charles. And we've kind of gone that road. And when you look at dogs, this is something I'd ask anybody before they think about shock collars. I want to think about this. When you see dogs that are trained to work alongside people closely with a natural bond, weapons like collars and prong collars and smacking and shaking do not occur. And I'm talking about seeing eye dogs and assistance dogs. Now in England, I'm working with the dogs that are looking like they're going to fail the course, which is a lot of money invested with the charity. And we're turning them around beautifully so they're going to be successful. But they never use violence because they're trying to build that bond and friendship between the handler, the blind person, their dog. So when somebody tells you to shake your dog, this is supposed to be your best friend. But you see, because, and we also become you're going to hate this, but too Disney-fied. It's like, oh, they understand every word I say. No, they don't. It's a dog. But this is a fantastic, wonderful creature. And all we've got to do is tap into that. And wow, what's unleashed on us is this bond again. I mean, the relationship I have with my dogs now, the ones I currently, you know, I'm privileged to have in my life, is so much better than the ones I had before I did this method. And it wasn't their fault. It wasn't better then. You know, the others were victims of my ignorance, whereas these guys kind of chill out and respond. I ask my dogs two things. I ask them of their own free will to stay with me when I'm out. You know, just stay with me. I don't sort of verbally ask them. That's what they're expected to do. And the other thing is to do as I ask. If I request something of them, you know, come to me, or, you know, very rarely ask them to sit. You see, they're not performing seals. You know, they're kind of, they should just be around you, and it's wonderful. And they do that of their own free will because I've given them a reason to believe in me as leader. Mm. So, you know, we get back to the original relationship, which was a symbiotic one. You know, it benefits both sides. But when you start lavishing all this, I don't say you shouldn't love them. Of course you should. But all this attention, always constant, wanting something from the dog, you make them neurotic. I mean, I don't care what the breed is either. That's another excuse people use. They say, well, it's a southern... I mean, I've got English Springers, and people say, all English Springers are crazy. No, 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 that's like saying, well, French people wear berets. You know, we cop out too easy. We abdicate responsibility too easy, and that's a shame.
Let's talk with some other listeners.
Yeah.
Next, we're going to go to a listener who's waiting for us on a cell phone line 3. Hi.
Hi, hello.
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I have a dog. She's an older dog. I take her for a walk in the morning and at night. She does the hunting thing, like you said earlier. My problem is that I let her loose in our yard, which is a 1-square-acre yard.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets bored, she'll run away.
No, it's not because she's bored. You see, what you're missing... Now, this is exactly the same problem as the previous...
I missed the last call.
Right, okay. I beg your pardon. So, look, the thing is... In the natural world for a canine, their yard would be the equivalent of 50 square miles, about that. So when a dog believes its leader, it has to investigate its whole area to protect its pack. It's like you and I. When you go somewhere different, you don't just go sort of waltzing off somewhere. You kind of test out the water, see what it's like, you know, get your bearings. And the dog is desperately trying to do that. And so it's not that she's getting bored. She just thinks, I really need to check out any danger to my babies. So all you need to do here is to trade places with her as to who is actually responsible for who. And that's not done with any jerking around. Even the stuff, the heel, come, sit, stay, that stuff doesn't mean anything to the dog. That is not the dog's values. When you take charge of what the dog cares about, food to hunt, danger, and status, then the dog can give you its loyalty, its affection, and its respect freely. And then your dog doesn't go... I mean, my dogs have sort of the same sort of yard as you've got, and the fences are very low. They could easily jump, but they never do. And it's not because they're afraid, because they're not. It's because they don't go out unless the leader says we're off somewhere. Sometimes we have our door wide open, and my dogs stand there and look at it and say, we're not going anywhere. Okay. And they go and lay down again because we initiate the going out. Do you see? And it's all about that trust in who is actually in charge in the dog's mind, not what we think. So if you trade places with your dog, she'll stop going.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
Well, like I said to the other gentleman, don't try it. Do it. As I say, it's all in the book. I've got all this down. Understand where the dog's coming from. Work with its very nature. You know, this is one thing I want to stress here. Human beings have a very bad habit, and that is trying to do better than nature does, or different. And when we try and work against nature, we come unstuck. What I encourage you to do is to work with nature, with the dog's very nature, and then it will cooperate with you. And when nature cooperates, you know, it's like if you have if you were to try and plant tropical trees in Chicago, they wouldn't survive because they can't. They need a different climate. And no matter how much you thought, I bought this goddamn tree and I'm going to make it take, they would keep dying on you. You see, because you're not working with nature. The same with the dog. If you try to force the issue, the dog either resists, and then we kill them if they resist us, or, you know, they get upset, they get nervous. All these things happen because you're fighting their very nature. Work with your dog's nature, and you will get exactly what you want. Okay?
So what do I physically do?
Right, for example, you know when you come home, does the dog greet you?
No, usually asleep. She does sometimes.
Right. When you come in the door, this is the hardest one for the human being, I promise you. Ignore her. It sounds really dreadful, but she's a dog, not a human. She won't think you're being rude. Well, if you come in that door and greet your dog, you're actually paying them homage. It's like, oh, before I come into the den, Your Majesty, I must speak to you. And if you ignore her, if anybody listening who's got a dog that gets very excited when you come in, wait till that excitement passes. Don't look at them. Don't speak to them. Now, when they're calm, call them to you for a big hug. So it's on your terms. If she runs down the garden barking, if people shout and they're going, stop it, stop it, all the dog hears is kill them, go get them, go get them. And that's not what you want, and you're not acting like a leader. So you just go to them, good dog, thank you, and bring them away calmly. You're showing them that you are the one that makes decisions. Do you see what I mean?
I get it. Okay.
Another good thing is food. Never leave food down. Never, never leave food down, because food is the ultimate power, and if you leave it down, you've thrown all your authority away. But as I say, everything's in the book and the DVD. The main thing is, if you start treating her like this respectfully and affectionately, You don't even have to raise your voice on your hand, and that's the secret to work. Okay?
Okay, good enough.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Next, we talk with a listener on line one in Champaign. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I'm calling because my dog does something weird that I don't understand, and I wonder if you can help
okay.
me understand it.
Okay.
It's not good or bad. It's just weird. And that when I crush cans for
mm-hmm.
recycling,
mm-hmm.
if he hears that sound, then he runs into the room, and he'll even stick his mouth, like, even under my foot almost
yeah.
to grab the can and run away with it.
Okay. Now, this is important. I don't actually – it's going to sound really strange. I don't actually care what the dog does. What I want to know, what do you do when he does it? What's your
laugh,
reaction?
Mostly.
You laugh. So you react, yeah? Now,
yes.
What's happening is your dog – dogs like life very peaceful. It's a bit like you and I. We like peaceful. We don't like change. Now, if the dog believes its leader, which most dogs do, and I don't care what training you've done, until you've done this, you're not going to change their mind. So if they believe their leader, they think that this winds you up, basically. And if you're a parent and something winds your child up or distresses your child in any way, then you try and get rid of it. So what happens is your dog comes charging in. You react in either laugh or stop it or silly or whatever. And the dog thinks, this is upsetting you, kid. I've got to get rid of it. So what I want you to do is when you crush, I know, you see, and because
he's
the one thing
me
about
from
my
the
message.
Can?
Yeah?
He's saving me from the can.
Sorry?
He's saving me from being
yeah,
upset by
yeah.
the can.
You're
oh.
getting the picture. We get this with telephones, with all the cars, anything passing. When dogs chase things, it's because the owner's got wound up and they're saving you from it. Yeah, absolutely. You are with this. You are with this completely. Now, what I want you to do is I'd like you to trade places with her completely, which is what I was talking to in the last call, you know, trade places and get them to see you as leader. When you get hold of a can and do that, and the dog comes rushing in, completely disregard the dog, carry on with what you were doing, throw, you know, put the can into your recycle bin or wherever you put it, and walk away, make nothing of it. And it won't take the dog long to realize it's nothing, not a problem, and they will stop doing it. It
okay.
is that simple.
Okay.
Okay. You can do it. And it'll work.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana. Line two, hi.
Hi. I have a dog I adopted about 4 years ago, and he's an Australian Shepherd, Australian Cattle Dog mix. And when I adopted him, he had been horrendously abused. I couldn't get a collar on him without him urinating on the floor. His behavior is just weird, and he got a little bit better, but he still has these moments. I mean, we play, you know, when he's upset, I crouch down on the floor and let him come to me. I try to do everything to appease him, but when he hears loud voices on the television, he still becomes upset. When I'm upset about something else, he'll become upset, and his issue with this, his depression or whatever, will last for up to 2 days.
Yeah.
And I really want him to be happy because he is the most phenomenal dog ever. But this is, it kind of scares me. I worry that he suffers from some sort of doggy depression.
Right. You are just exactly the perfect dog owner in the world. No, you are, because you're suffering inside because you can see your dog is suffering. That's the bad news for you. The good news is, you do this method, you will put a stop to that.
Oh, I hope so.
And no. I guarantee, look, and I'll explain why. Your dog believes its leader and its decision-making in a world it doesn't understand. Okay?
Okay.
You imagine, if you're making decisions in a world you don't understand, with the language you don't understand, and, you know, you can't control your kids, also, you know, because, you know, they just keep going out, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to be under pressure. Now, your dog had a bad deal somewhere else and has brought that baggage with it. Now, the good thing about this is you can actually make a... When people take on a dog, and congratulations for taking on a troubled rescue dog. Not many people do, and it's such a shame. The good thing about the rescue dogs, see, rescue implies inferior. When it's not, it means let down by humans somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, the dog is the victim. Now, what I want you to do is when you try, and I can just visualize you doing this, when the dog gets upset, you cuddle it and say it's okay, don't you?
Yeah, well, I sit in the middle of the floor,
yeah.
and I talk in a really soft
yeah.
voice to him.
Now, this is what the dog's hearing, that you're as scared as it is. You're actually making something of nothing. You see, you're making something of it. It's like,
okay.
Yeah, sweetheart, okay, I'm sorry this is happening to you. You're doing what is absolutely normal for a human being,
okay.
a caring human being, which isn't right for the dog, okay? Now, what I'd like you to do is all the method that I'm talking about depends everything on trading places with that dog. Let's take that stressful job of leader off the dog. Okay. And this is how they can come out, because, you know, right now this dog is going, I really don't understand this world, man. I don't understand this and don't understand that. So you're fretful. And that's what you want to get rid of. You can. Because by trading places with a dog, you get the dog to go, hey, it's not my problem. Yeah? Then when they react to something, you make nothing of it. Because you know it's nothing. It's like when dogs are afraid of noise, fireworks, thunder, anything. I don't want them to worry about what it is. All I want them to know is that if there was a problem, I would get them out of it.
Okay.
But because I'm not bothered, they needn't worry. Can you see how it works?
Yeah, I did that because he had separation anxiety really badly. So I wouldn't make a big deal out of leaving. I don't make a big deal out of coming home.
Which is terrific. You're on your way. You're getting it right. Now let's tighten it up and really get it right. Take charge of everything. You have to make nothing of nothing.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with my work, but that coming and going without making any fuss is terrific. You're well on your way to doing it right. Take charge of the walk and the hunt. Take charge of that. Never put pressure on the dog. If the dog shows signs of running away and thinking about things, let it think. Never put pressure on. You see, the trouble when people take a dog from a shelter, I know because I've been, I really empathize here because I've done this myself. I think to myself, oh, I'm going to love you to bits. I really do, and I want to care for you. But you can't tell a dog that. You have to keep cool. This reminds me of when I was fostering very small children. They would come into my home like 3 years old, absolutely terrified. They were someone they didn't know. If I'd have gone up and hugged that child, I knew I was going to care for it, yeah? It would have peed its little self, wouldn't it? It's true. So I used to give them space to have a look around, to find out where they were, and let them come out, yeah?
Okay.
So with your dog, I want as much as possible just to, whenever the dog goes into a sort of a withdrawal of any description, give it that precious time out to assimilate its right. Now, when the dog seems to relax, then you say, come here, sweetheart, and give that dog a big fuss.
Okay.
But only fuss your dog when it's actually relaxed. And then it soon learns that that nervousness, that being on its own, is not the best place to be because it's a pack animal and wants to be with you. Yeah?
He wants to be with me constantly. I mean, he is an Australian Shepherd mix. He sticks to me like glue.
Yeah, because now this tells me that he's looking after his baby.
Yes.
You. Now can you see why? Now, yeah. if you had your child in an unfamiliar, and not an environment that isn't yours, with a language that isn't yours, do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be in trouble.
Absolutely.
Trade places with your dog, and you will see the most enormous changes. They appear so quick, and the dog can really blossom through. You love this dog. It's already in a secure and happy home. Now let's take it a stage further. Take the job off the dog. Trade places, and let it come through.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, of course you can.
Is there any collar, actually two, I need to know what your work is. I walked into your program a little late today.
Okay. I don't look at, if you're looking at any of the collars, the only thing that should go around a dog's neck is a soft collar for day wear when it's around the house with its ID on it.
Okay.
And a leash to attach to that, or just a rope lead, you know, just something loose around its neck, because anything else is abuse.
Right.
And I stand by that. There isn't one gadget that a dog listener ever uses, because two reasons. A, it's abuse and we won't abuse dogs, and B, they don't work.
No, I'm having a horrible time. I have my other dog is a very large dog, and
yeah.
She's pulls.
Yeah.
She's torn both my rotator cuffs trying to walk her.
Yeah, well, look, now, you see, this is it. She believes she's leader, and where should a leader be? Up front.
She's up front, all right.
Right then. So you trade, you're going to have to trade places, because there's no point trading places with one. It's impossible. You've got to go for it. You've got two different personalities. Trade places with the pair. And the other thing is, the outgoing one is making the other one more nervous because it sees what the other one does. And you'll find that, you know, right now you've got two extremes. You've got one way and one the other. You get the balance. One will calm down and the other one will pick up. Yeah? Can you see how that works?
Yes.
Because right now they're not sure. Well, they're the leaders in a world they don't understand. They're in a heck of a pickle. And when you trade places with them, they can relax. I teach dogs what I want. Walking by my side is something I teach them off-leash, completely, no leash involved, in and around the house, food reward at my side, show them what I want. A good teacher makes it fun. Play the game of heel work. Then when you add the leash, if they go to pull, it's like, here, sweetie, you know, you're not out there. And if they go the wrong way, you just change direction. Keep changing direction until they come back. And it works. But teach them where you want first. Yeah, you show her food reward by your side and teach her how to walk nicely. And if she doesn't do it, she doesn't go. We always say to people, if you're going to go out there into the big wide world, two things you must be. One is happy and in control. Yeah?
Yeah.
And confident your dog will respond to you whatever you decide.
Okay.
Now, and if you haven't got that yet, then don't worry about it. Don't even go out there. Don't take your dogs out until you've got that. Play with them in the yard. You can get as much fun, if not more, like that. Just make it fun for them to learn. You know, you ask any child their favorite subject at school, and you will never find that the teacher they don't like. You ask them their subject they loathe, and they won't like that teacher. Yeah?
Right.
It's because a good teacher knows how to facilitate learning. Now, you've got an intelligent being that is canine, and you give it darn good reason to do something for you, and it will. And to begin with, we use food, and then we're able to back off with that a little bit and just use affection.
Okay.
Until you've got it, you know, hardly ever using food reward, because we don't want to make the dog overweight. But at first, like a child, you know, you invite them to have manners. You don't just say, well, when Auntie Mabel gives you a piece of chocolate, you've got to say tar. You know, forget it. You've got to tar and give them something to stimulus and reward. And the same with the dog.
Wonderful.
Okay.
What is it? Do you have a book?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got five. But the book, I mean, I hope the station don't mind me saying it. The one you want is The Dog Listener. The Dog Listener, which I know is out. HarperCollins have published it.
Yes.
The Dog Listener. That will give you every piece of information to help you get your dogs seeing you as leader, and then your problems will just fall away.
Oh.
And that I assure you of.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you so very much.
No, thank you for ringing in. I bet a lot of people have got a lot of information from your questions, and that
All
was
right.
terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
The Dog Listener, Jan Fennell, is our guest this afternoon here on The Afternoon Magazine. Let's talk with another listener caller in Southern Illinois, Line 4. Hi.
Oh, thank you. So interesting listening to you, and a lot of good advice. I'm hoping I can teach a couple of old dogs some tricks. I live out in the country, and I guess I've been lax, but I think...
No, come on, you've been hard on yourself. You haven't been lax. If you didn't know this, it's like, you know, if you go to France and you don't know how to speak French, is it
mm-hmm.
lax? No, you can pick it up, you know.
Well, you know, like you said, we just enjoy the dogs so much. Mm-hmm. I think they know I'm their leader. They stay at home unless I go out. Mm-hmm. My question is, when I do take them for a walk, a mm-hmm. mile up my lane and a mile back,
mm-hmm.
they're fine. They stay with me mostly. But if a squirrel or a
mm-hmm.
bunny hops out, they're gone, and all I'm doing is yelling, come back, because they'll
yeah.
go in the yard. And
yeah. Now, look, the thing is, you can't take the wolf out of the dog. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they lose it. And don't beat yourself up over that. If your dogs are happy, and you feel happy and in control when you go out, and they slip up now and again, if you're not sure about it, put them on a long line. You know, you can have them on any form. It would be a long piece of rope. I don't mind. And work with them that way until you get your recall better. But sometimes things happen. It's not so much the problems you get. It's how quick you can regain the control. Yeah? Get it back. It's so hard, but a dog is an opportunist eater. And
they,
therefore...
got in this habit when a friend of mine walked her dog with me
mm-hmm.
and a cat ran out, and her dog was a chow. It ran after this
mm.
cat and got it and shook
yeah.
it to death.
Yeah. Now, you see...
Ever since then, my dogs have been chasing.
Yeah, I can understand that. Again, you see, this is it. Every caller today is like most people I ever deal with. They're the real carers who are responsible owners as well. So you're considering somebody else's pet, which is as it should be. Look, the thing is, if your animal, you know, does go to chase anything, then, you know, it's going to go. Once it's gone away from you, this is why you shouldn't let them go too far from you. And when you do this method, the dogs actually have their natural distance from you. It's about 30 yards, no more, because
mm-hmm.
they don't want to be away from the leader. And while, if you're not sure of anywhere, call them back to you. Gather up your control before you set off. And the other important thing is, if they look like attacking anything, for goodness sake, don't shout. Because if you go, hey, stop it, what they hear is, kill it, kill it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? This is another reason people, you know, again, the method I've come up with, well, I say the method I've come up with, the method that the canines have taught me, and that's how I've learned it, from canines themselves, is about opposite to everything else humans have traditionally done, or should I say, to the traditional things I did when I used to train dogs the what I call the old-fashioned way. I never did use gadgets or weaponry or these awful shock collars or anything like that. It's completely opposite. If they look like looking at something, then you teach them how to be in the presence of that something else. For example, if you have a dog that chases sheep, for example, or even cars. You know.
They're both herding dogs, a corgi and a collie.
Yeah, but that breed doesn't matter, you know, don't you? And the other good thing is age doesn't matter either, because when you said teaching old dogs new tricks, dog listeners don't actually teach the dogs a darn thing. It's the owners that have to learn their language. They can't learn ours.
So we're the old dogs.
Well, I wouldn't even be saying that. But anyway, yeah, if you learn this method and get them to believe in you, then your recall is stronger. You can call them off. You can gain more control. But the important thing is, and I actually take dogs out and I educate them how to behave in the presence of. So that means you're walking past, say we get dogs that chase cars, which is very common. Or other, you know, joggers or anything, they'll chase. Then what you do is you take them out on lead and you casually walk past and you show them you're a role model. You are the alpha, the presence that shows them how to behave in this situation. Can you see that? So you actually change their mind. Now, once you start to instill this, and you have to go through this with every dog, every time, then it comes good, and the problems do fall away. So you have to get that dog to choose you leader of its own free will. So work with your dogs, and go back to the beginning. There's nothing wrong in going back to the beginning, ever.
I will say that the one dog always liked to walk ahead, and I would turn around and go a different direction. That works very nicely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
But the leader chooses a direction.
Mm-hmm.
But, you see, don't think if your dog, I'm not saying with your dogs, but I don't want people to think, oh, if my dog comes after me or walks with me, it sees me as leader. No, it could be also it sees you as its baby, its responsibility, and it's got a darn well find you.
Okay.
Yeah? It's very easy for them to take on the role of leader. It's a hiccup away from what people believe, honest goodness, and once you train places, all these problems we hear about just fall away.
Well, okay. You've been so interesting, and we love our dogs.
Yeah, that's
nice
it.
Nice to hear your different way of listening.
That's right. You just listen to them and work with their nature, mm-hmm. and they will work with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks
Bye.
For the call. Other calls are invited, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, anywhere else toll-free, 800-222-9455. Jan Fennell is our guest this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. She's the author of 5 books on dogs, including The Dog Listener, all about learning how to communicate with your dog so that you have a good companion and that the dog willingly cooperates with you. Jan Fennell is joining us this afternoon from the Chicago area, where she's been doing some workshops and lectures, and she's got a training course coming up this weekend and on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. For more information on that, you can go to this website, www.peacefulpaws.us, and that's peaceful, P-A-W-S, like the dog's paws, peacefulpaws.us. U.S. My name is Celeste Quinn. This is the Afternoon Magazine. And we've got another caller ready to talk with you, Jan. Jan Fennell, let's talk with a listener on line one in Southern Indiana. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I have a question. I have a basset hound puppy.
Mm-hmm.
She's 9 months old.
Yep.
And I'm just having terrific trouble completely housebreaking him.
Mm-hmm.
He still wants to have accidents, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. Don't be so hard on yourself, please, because, you know, everybody is. When you get good dog owners, they really want to get it right. Now, some people will tell you you can't work with hounds. Well, that's not true. Well, how I teach a dog to be clean is that I take them out in the garden and in the yard, and I'll wait until they... I say to them, go be clean. I don't care what expression you use. You can say empty. It doesn't matter. And when they squat, then food reward, good dog, and give them the reward.
Uh-huh.
So whether they squat or, you know, go party, it doesn't matter. Food reward. If they have an accident in the house, then I don't get angry. I just clear it up without even speaking. Now, think about this from the dog's point of view. They start to get the feeling they need to go to the toilet. They've got to go. And then they go to where it is pleasant. Can you see? You are directing them towards where it is pleasant. You reward them with something really nice when they do it in the appropriate place. They get nothing when they do it in an inappropriate place. And you keep repeating that. It doesn't take these little guys long to tumble into that. Now, there is a couple of reasons your dog may be toileting in the house. I don't know without seeing the dog, so bear with me. I'm only trying to help long distance, as it were, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes dogs pee in the house to mark their territory. Now, at 9 months of age, your dog's coming up to puberty. So it's like, you know, like a 12, 14-year-old human being. So here we have a dog that believes it's got to, it could be this. I'm not going to be categoric because I can't see the dog and you together. Now, it could be that it thinks, I've got to mark my home because I'm in charge and I've got to tell the rest of the world to keep away. And then they will mark their territory. Another reason they can do it, it doesn't sound like this with yours, that they are so afraid of going out there that they can't relax enough to go to the loo, so they come back in and do it inside. There's a myriad of reasons, but trading places with the dog and re-educating the dog as to where you want it is the way to go. Always is. You get that dog to give up the job of leader, the responsibility, then they can relax more, then the education just flows through. Okay?
Okay, very good. Next, we talk with a listener on line 2 in Urbana. Good afternoon. You're on the phone with Jan, or you're on the air with Jan Fennell.
Hi.
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 I'm really enjoying the program. I have a beautiful 11-month-old Labrador Retriever,
mm-hmm.
and she's taken training wonderfully. It's my first dog as an adult, so mm-hmm. I actually read a couple of your books, which helped me quite a bit to train her.
Thank you.
Thank you. But she's still jumping up a lot. I have elderly parents, so I have a hard time kind of... I know people usually squeal with joy when they see her, which makes her excited, and I think that's what's making her jump up, although I might be wrong about that.
No, you're absolutely right, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, you get what you invite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, funny enough, I was talking, when I did a talk the other night, I was explaining how a woman I know, I wouldn't call her a friend, and you'll hear why. She came to my home for some reason, and I saw her standing there patting her chest to invite one of my dogs up onto her, you know, when Kamatch jumped up, I said to her, Jackie, please, we don't do that, you know. And she went, oh, bad dog, and I went, whoa. You do not blame my dog for that.
Right.
That's your fault. You know, I mean, I'm pretty notorious in my area for saying, you come into my house, it's my rules. Now, you can ask your visitors to please ignore her when they come in. If they don't, this is going to sound really hard, they don't see the dog. You know, it's your dog you're protecting here, not them.
Yeah?
It sounds awful, but hey, you know, you wouldn't let somebody come in and kick your dog. Well, you're kicking it in the mind if you get it in a muddle. This is why you're not getting complete success, because a status thing is still an issue. Yeah?
Yes.
And the other way you can do it is to bring her in on leash. So she can't jump up at people. Tell them not to make eye contact. And when mm-hmm. she's completely calm, when she's given up this sort of ritual and she's calmed right down, then say to her, now you can call her to you, but don't encourage her to jump up. And you've got to be careful also of the visitors who come in, look the dog straight in the eyes and say, I've been told to ignore you. I'm not to speak to you. Be careful of them, because that, mm-hmm. you know, they're still doing that. You know, you've got it. You're getting there nicely. It could be better. And just got to, and the other way to do it is what I do with people. I say, will you help me with my dog?
Mm.
It's like with the children, please do it my way, because it's your dog after all, you know?
Right.
And say to them, look, you know, you don't want her jumping up at you, and the heck, I don't either. And nor does she, really.
Yeah.
So bring her, especially if you've got elderly parents, bring her in on leash and be lovely and calm and hold her. And when she's chilled out, release her.
All right.
And then say to them, now when she's nice and calm, call her to you. If she goes to get too excited, straight on leash again. Show her that's inappropriate. But don't say, get down, stop it, bad dog, because then you're just talking to her great fun and she's away. Yeah?
Right. Okay, I see where I'm making a mistake. And I have to just train the humans then.
Oh, yeah. This method is all about working with humans. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You know, get them on board. You know, you can even get children on board. People generally like to help you. You know, people
right.
are, I'm an optimistic person. I like to think that all people are as lovely as most people I meet. But,
sure.
you know, treat people with that respect, and they'll probably give it back to you.
Well, thank you so much. Your work is great, and it's really helped so much.
Oh, thank you so much for your compliment. And, you know, you go to it and have a great life with your dog.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. We can take one more call, but we're going to have to do it quickly. Let's hope the problem isn't too big.
I'm just thinking quickly. I'll do my best.
Line 3, a listener in Dewey. Hi.
Hi. We have an outside dog, and we were just wondering if there was any way to get him to bark when cars drove in.
Sorry, when what come?
Cars.
When cars come in. Some dogs, actually, they don't bark because of the job of leader is so too much for them, decision-making. They shut down. Exactly the same as in Africa, the wild dogs there, when there's any trouble, they keep their heads down because they're not the biggest predator. Do you see what I mean? Now, the dog is trying to make decisions. When people do this method, trade places with a dog, which you can do even with an outside dog, then the dog will bark to alert the leader, yeah? Because it's usually the subordinates who tell the leaders, I think there's something here to be afraid of. I can't say without actually seeing the dog, but generally when dogs don't bark when somebody comes, it's because they're learning to keep their heads down to avoid trouble. It's very, very common. Don't worry about it. It's a very common problem. So you trade places with your dog, and then when the dog does bark, then your words to your dog then are, good dog, thank you. Okay?
Okay. He's very happy to see cars come in, and he's a big dog, but he just doesn't bark.
Because he's just keeping, if you don't make a sound, if you avoid confrontation, you won't get picked on, and that's what he's doing.
Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's scary. I mean, you see, you've got to remember, if dogs believe their leader, it's a very scary world for them, and their personality will dictate which way they react. It's got nothing to do with breed or age. It's just because of their own individual personality.
Think like a dog, change places.
Absolutely.